There's Christ who's the center of everything, as we established in our first message, who's worthy of all praise. There's Christ who's the center of why you're even saved, why you can be reconciled to God. And then there's the Christ who is the substance and the center of Christian ministry. And as I close this series on Colossians, I just simply must ask myself again, do I have that type of passion for Jesus Christ? Or have I got caught up in the latest theological trend and the latest this and that in church life? I mean, if there ever comes a day that I'm more excited about wearing this Garth Brooks mic than I am about Jesus Christ, something's gone like terrible, terrible wrong. I mean, we've got to be about things that are deep and weighty and grounded on Jesus Christ. There's so many things we could spend our time on in this church. Let's spend them on knowing Jesus and on making him known to others. It's been such a privilege just to have the opportunity with you to open up the Word of God and to look at its truths and just simply to continually ask myself as I go to the Word of God, is Jesus Christ the center of everything I'm about? Is he the center of my life? And I want you to open to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We will be in Colossians chapter 1 for the bulk of the message tonight. But I just want you to see something that I've just been so convicted about. It's been so powerful to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And starting in verse 1, we're going to read it. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And in verse 3, it's so interesting. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Now, this just rolls off really fast to those of us who are churchy people, you know, who go to church and we're used to being in church and all that sort of stuff. It rolls off so fast because we quote this so often as part of the communion that we take. But what does he say? For I delivered to you as of first importance. You see, there can be many things that are important, but there can only be one thing that's of first importance, right? And what is it that's of first importance, of highest priority? That Jesus Christ died for our sins. The gospel is the thing which is of first importance. And as you turn to Colossians chapter 1, tonight we're going to look at verses 24 to 29. We're really going to focus very specifically on verse 28 and just unpack that briefly tonight together. And I just want to say this. Look, there are tons of great things that we can be about and that we can do in the ministry here at this church. I mean, there are so many things that are out there. They're good things. They're fine things to do. There's nothing necessarily wrong with doing them, but there can really only be one thing that must be the key to everything that we do here at Sailorville Baptist Church. And the key in ministry, just as it is the key in our life, just as it is the key in our salvation, must always be Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. I want to put this quote up for you, and I'm going to keep it up there throughout the message. D.A. Carson said this, "I fear that the cross, without ever being disowned, is constantly in danger of being dismissed from the central place it must enjoy by relatively peripheral insights that take on far too much weight." And he went on to say, "Whenever the periphery is in danger of displacing the center, which is Christ, we are not far removed from idolatry." Isn't that powerful? Here's my fear, is that cross of Jesus Christ would suddenly start to slip down the order of priority. I'm so glad that Chuck was able to share with you about the visitation ministry, because the proclamation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the central thing that our ministry here at this church is about. It must be. Let me show you why. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. We're just going to read starting in verse 24 through verse 29, and we're going to focus specifically on verse 28 tonight together. Verse 24, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you." What's that entrustment that Paul's given? It's to make the word of God fully known. Now, what does that mean? Verse 26, "The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." And I ask the question tonight, what is to be the center of the ministry of a church? What's to be the central thing in the ministry of a local church? And trust me here, okay, now this is a message for pastors, yes. It's not just a message for pastors, though. It's a message for all of us. And we're going to see that so closely connected. It's even implied. Look at verse 28 with me. Okay? It starts out and it says this. Great statement. And I like how the translation I'm reading out of the English Standard puts it. "Him we proclaim." It gets the word order right. Okay? Because that's literally what it is. In Greek, you can indicate emphasis through word order. And here, the first word in this is him. It's stressing that the central substance that is proclaimed is a person, Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, aren't there other subjects that we're supposed to talk about at church? Do we just come here every Sunday and talk about Jesus? I think I can shed maybe a little bit of light. This is how I put this together in my mind. Luke 24:27, on the road to Emmaus, okay, the disciples are with Christ, and they're speaking of him, and they're talking about his death and resurrection, and they're not yet his resurrection, of his death. And he is speaking to them, and he says in verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets..." Okay, now that's a designation for the entire Old Testament. So beginning with the entire Old Testament, he interpreted or explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What does that mean? Everything in the scriptures point to Jesus. Okay? The scriptures are not just a message about God. They are a message about God revealed in Jesus Christ. He is the image of God. We know God through Jesus. And so what I would say is simply this, that all other talking and explaining on all other subjects is in some way an explaining of Jesus Christ. Okay? This will create such an important foundation here, because it's Him we proclaim. He is the substance. All other roads in the scriptures don't lead to Rome, they lead to Jesus. Okay? Now, we proclaim. This is why this applies to all of us. Because earlier Paul talks about how I, Paul, have received a stewardship from God. I, Paul, have received a ministry to the Gentiles. But here he changes from speaking in the first person to speaking in the plural, right? He says, and we proclaim him. This isn't just my job. This isn't just pastor's job. This is our job. We're in this thing together. We're proclaiming Christ together. And what is it that we're doing? We're proclaiming him. It's the idea of a public proclamation. We're not just getting together in silent and speaking in small groups about Jesus, though that is necessary. We'll see that. But it's that there is something about the message of Jesus Christ which needs to be heralded for the whole world to see. When you got such great news, hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. And so we come here and publicly we proclaim Jesus Christ. This is the primary goal and must be the primary goal to the service we're in here. It'll be the primary goal to our public service in the morning. You see? Because there's an aspect of the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ where it must be proclaimed. I just read this in my devotions. I mean, it just pops. It just leaps right into my mind. That Paul talks out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You need to look at 1 Corinthians 1 through 3. It's just an incredible, incredible, incredible thing. Okay? What's so powerful in 1 Corinthians 1? He speaks of the necessity of the preaching of the cross of Christ. And I'm just going to read to you. This just gripped me. 1 Corinthians 1:17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel." Isn't that interesting? Because baptism is one of those things we do as a church, right? But it's not the central thing that we do. There can only be one thing of first importance, and in the church and in the ministry, it must be proclaiming Jesus Christ. Now, it says we proclaim him, and then it gives us two phrases that explain how that proclamation happens. There's a public aspect of the word being proclaimed. We call them like our celebration services here. Now, there's also another aspect. If you look back in Colossians chapter 1, we're going to see this together once I get there. There we go. Okay. Colossians 1. "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom." Now, what does that word warning mean? This is for those of you who are into this nuthetic counseling stuff. I know some of you guys like the whole Nank movement. Okay, this word warning comes from the Greek word nutheteo. The idea here is to counsel against doing something or thinking some way. It's a warning. It's an admonition. We warn or admonish each other. And not only that, there's a teaching that goes on. Nutheteo, the counseling, is kind of the negative aspect of it. We negatively say, don't do or think this way, and then we positively say, teach, do or think or believe this thing, right? And now, what are we teaching and warning? We're teaching and warning about Jesus Christ. This is the root here, okay, of why nuthetic counseling is more than just fluff Christian psychology, okay? You're not just, the goal of nuthetic counseling, the goal of biblical counseling is not to produce a moral person. It is to produce Christ-likeness, right? The central substance that we teach and that we warn and that we admonish one another on is Jesus Christ. We don't just say, get your marriage right so your marriage can be right. We say, get your marriage right so that you point people to Jesus. He's the end of everything that we do. Not only the public proclamation of the word, but also the private. You see? You have the public proclaiming aspect, and you also have the private warning, teaching. And here's the thing, okay? This isn't just my job. This isn't just Pat's job. And the Bible says that very clearly. These two exact words are used speaking of what you all do with you all, and what me all do with you all when we're all together, okay? Romans 15:14 says it this way, "I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves," it's emphatic, he doesn't need to say the "you" twice, "that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to warn," nutheteo, "instruct one another." You all are. As you take this word and you point people to Jesus Christ, you have everything that you need here to warn and admonish one another toward godliness. It's your job. Not only that, you're all to teach one another too. in the book of Colossians. It says it in chapter 3, verse 16. It says to let the word of Christ dwell in you. Again, this is plural. You all, richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You see this? This is a function of the community, not just the leadership. All of us are coming together and we're saying we're all about Jesus Christ. And you got to understand that this path of life is not going to honor him. We need to point people to Christ. We're warning one another. And then we're teaching one another. We're saying, look, this can point people positively to Jesus Christ. He's the substance of what we're teaching and warning. And here's my question. Are you coming to church like that? Am I coming to church like that? Where I come and I think, you know what? I've got to be here today because there's going to be somebody here who needs me to point them to Jesus. Or are you just coming to get a blessing? Now, why do we do all of this? Why do we proclaim him publicly? Why do we warn and teach one another privately? Why is it that this happens toward the end? That we may present everyone. This word everyone's used three times. It's so clear here, okay? It's not just that we want half this congregation this way. It's not just that we want 10% of these people this way. It's that the work of the ministry isn't done until everybody here is this way, so that we may present everyone mature, complete, perfect, whole in Christ. Wow. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, just to kind of give us a perspective on that verse. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 12, kind of explains this. What does it mean? What does it mean to say that we are aiming as the goal of ministry to present all people, everyone, perfect in Jesus Christ? Ephesians 4, we're going to start in verse 12. Actually, I want to start in verse 11, just to give you a little perspective, okay? And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, the leadership of the church. Why? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood. Now he's going to explain what that means. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. What do we build up into? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus. So Christ is the substance and the essential message of what we do in the ministry, and Christ-likeness is the essential goal of the ministry. Christ is to be the substance of the ministry, and Christ-likeness is the goal. The goal when we share and when we teach, when we admonish and when we proclaim, is that at the end of the day, you're more like Jesus than when you started. And then the end of tomorrow, you're more like Jesus than when you started that day. So that then, on that day in front of the judgment seat of Christ, as we come there, we look back on a life and we don't go to heaven and we're not shocked by what we see. We've been made more like Christ continually throughout our lives. You've been presented mature in Jesus. Now, okay. I just want to say it this way. Jesus Christ must be the center of everything we do in the ministry. Everything in the ministry gains its importance and its necessity in view of its relationship to knowing Christ and making him known. Why do we have our sound room back there? These guys, they're great. They put up with me constantly, okay? I'm serious. Put up with me is a very good expression of what they do. Okay. Well, why do we have a sound room back there? What's their primary function? You know what their primary function is? To enable people to hear the Word of God so that they can know Christ and then go forth and make Him known. Why do we have the nursery? To enable parents to hear the Word of God as it is publicly proclaimed so that people would know Christ and go forward and make Him known. You see, it's not just like the big upfront ministry that's important here at this church that makes the wheels on the bus go round and round at Sailorville Baptist Church. You know what's important? It's every single piece of this puzzle. See, and it's not just there. It's when you come and you together sing corporately here on Sunday evening and Sunday morning. Did you notice that for Colossians 3:16? I get so excited I stumble over my words. Okay. Did you notice what it said? You teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. How does that happen? Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Did you know that you are teaching and speaking something special when you sing to one another? That's why we try to make the gospel and Jesus Christ preeminent in our singing. So that consciously when we come, when I sing, I'm not just thinking, God, I'm speaking truth to you and I'm worshiping you for who you are, but I've got a neighbor here who needs to know that Jesus Christ, she should love him. And the person that you're singing right next to, I don't care if you can't sing. Your job, it doesn't say singing good. It just says that you're singing, okay? Here's the point. You come here, and everything about what you do says to somebody, look to Jesus, He's worth it. Amen. That's why you sing. That's why I'm up here singing. I don't just do this for like some sort of song and dance, dog and pony show. We do this so that we make Christ known through the Word being sung. It's not just there. It's in the preaching. I've heard of people who put on their pulpit or, you know, their music stand, whatever they got there, okay? They put the phrase, sirs, we would see Jesus. And I'm telling you, we have to see Jesus through the Word when it's preached. It's not enough, okay, for me just to go to the text of Scripture and explain what it means. I need to explain what it means in such a way that I present and exalt Jesus Christ. That you go away thinking not just, boy, I know more of the Word, but I love Jesus more today because I heard that. We have to proclaim Christ. I mean, that's my prayer here. Is God be merciful to me, a sinner, because I've got to talk about Jesus and go to the Word and explain what your Word says about Jesus in such a way that people leave here changed to love Him more. And if that doesn't happen, we failed. I don't care how many good things we've set up here. If you don't leave here thinking more of Jesus Christ, something has gone terribly wrong. Everything we do in this ministry here has to be about Jesus Christ. I just think of that in my own life, and I want us to think about that in the life of our church. Because, why? That statement right there. I fear that the cross, without ever being disowned, is constantly in danger of being dismissed from the central place it must enjoy by relatively peripheral insights that take on far too much weight. There are many good things to talk about. But I'm telling you right now, there's only one thing worth using your life to champion. And that is Jesus Christ. Whatever else we do, whatever our name says, whatever type of doctrine we teach, whatever it is, it will all center back on Jesus Christ and making Him known. And in my life, when I look at that, you know what I think? And as I look at our church, I think above all else, if there could be one thing that would be said of me at the end of my life, or that could be said of our church at the end of its existence when the Lord comes as we're faithful till he comes, I would want it to be this, that we were people with a passion to know Christ and to make him known. That's a life worth living. Gets me excited. Because there's Christ who's the center of everything, as we established in our first message, who's worthy of all praise. There's Christ who's the center of why you're even saved, why you can be reconciled to God. And then there's the Christ who is the substance and the center of Christian ministry. And as I close this series on Colossians, I just simply must ask myself again, do I have that type of passion for Jesus Christ? Or have I got caught up in the latest theological trend and the latest this and that in church life? If there ever comes a day that I'm more excited about wearing this Garth Brooks mic than I am about Jesus Christ, something's gone like terrible, terrible wrong. I mean, we've got to be about things that are deep and weighty and grounded on Jesus Christ. There's so many things we could spend our time on in this church. Let's spend them on knowing Jesus and on making him known to others. And if we will do that, I really believe that God will reward us with seeing many, many people come to trust Christ as Savior, and many, many people who come through the ministry of Sailorville Baptist Church who at the end of their lives would look back and say, you know what? As we heard the word proclaimed, as we were warned and taught about Jesus Christ, we matured. We got closer to him, so that at the end we have a body of disciples that is learning and growing and loving and united around one person, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, this was a simple message. And I have got to be gripped by this, God. Forgive me, Father, for making the trivial, peripheral things of ministry and of church into something more important than they ever were meant to be. God, I'm here tonight. And I'm saying I want to know Jesus. I want to know him more. And I want our church to be gripped with a passion to know Jesus Christ and to make him known. And so, Father, if there's one thing that you would bless and one thing you would do through the preaching of your word that you've so graciously allowed me to do, Father, I would ask that it would be that you would ignite in hearts an irresistible, irrepressible passion for Jesus Christ. Please let that be so, God. I ask it in his name, and I give glory to him. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this evening. I trust that God will continue to be at work in your life.
We'd like to thank you for listening to our weekly podcast. We'd also like to invite you to visit our website at www.sailorvillebaptist.com. Drop us a line and let us know how we can serve you better. We'll see you next week.